You are listening to the audio production of Thomas Wingfold, Curate, Volume 3, by George MacDonald, published by One Audiobooks and read by Simon Bubb. Chapter 1. After the Sermon. As the sermon drew to a close, and the mist of his emotion began to disperse, individual faces of his audience again dawned out on the preacher's ken. Mr. Drew's head was down. As I have already said, certain things he had been taught in his youth and had practiced in his manhood, certain mean ways, counted honest enough in the trade, had become to him, regarded from the ideal point of the divine in merchandise, such a merchandise, namely, as the share the Son of Man might have taken in buying and selling had his reputed father been a shopkeeper instead of a carpenter, absolutely hateful, and the memory of them intolerable. Nor did it relieve him much to remind himself of the fact that he knew not to the full the nature of the advantages he took, for he knew that he had known them such as shrank from the light, not coming thereto to be made manifest. He was now doing his best to banish them from his business, and yet they were a painful presence to his spirit, so grievous to be borne that the prospect held out by the preacher of an absolute and final deliverance from them, by the indwelling presence of the God of all living men and true merchants, was a blessedness unspeakable. Small was the suspicion in the Abbey Church of Glaston that morning that the well-known successful man of business was weeping. Who could once have imagined another reason for the laying of that round, good-humoured, contented face down on the bookboard than pure drowsiness from lack of workday interest? Yet there was a human soul crying out after its birthright. Oh, to be clean as a mountain river, clean as the air above the clouds or on the middle seas, as the throbbing ether that fills the gulf betwixt star and star. Nay, as the thought of the Son of Man himself, who to make all things new and clean, stood up against the whole battery of sin-sprung suffering, withstanding and enduring and stilling the recoil of the awful force wherewith his Father had launched the worlds, and given birth to human souls with wills that might become free as his own. While Wingfold had been speaking in general terms, with the race in his mind's and the congregation in his body's eye, he had yet thought more of one soul, with its one crime and its intolerable burden, than of all the rest. Leopold was ever present to him, and while he strove to avoid absorption in a personal interest, however justifiable, it was of necessity that the thought of the most burdened sinner he knew should colour the whole of his utterance. At times, indeed, he felt as if he were speaking to him immediately and to him only. At others, although then he saw her no more than him, that he was comforting the sister individually, in holding out to her brother the mighty hope of a restored purity. And when once more his mind could receive the messages brought home by his eyes, he saw upon Helen's face the red sunset of a rapt listening. True, it was already fading away, but the eyes had wept, the glow yet hung about cheek and forehead, and the firm mouth had forgotten itself into a tremulous form which the stillness of absorption had there for the moment fixed. But even already, although he could not yet read it upon her countenance, a snake had begun to lift its head from the chaotic swamp which runs a creek at least into every soul, the rudimentary desolation, a remnant of the time when the world was without form and void. And the snake said, "Why then did he not speak like that to my Leopold? Why did he not comfort him with such a good hope, well becoming a priest of the gentle Jesus? Or, if he fancied he must speak of confession, why did he not speak of it in plain, honest terms, instead of suggesting the idea of it, so that the poor boy imagined it came from his own spirit, and must therefore be obeyed as the will of God?" So said the snake. And by the time Helen had walked home with her aunt, the glow had sunk from her soul, and a grey wintry mist had settled down upon her spirit. And she said to herself that if this last hope in George should fail her, she would not allow the matter to trouble her any further.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?